Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's a horror movie that isn't for everyone. It's a movie that's going to make you really kind of think, I think, about some of, you know, the ugly face of Britain as well. But it's a movie that I strongly think more people need to see. So I would recommend this often. You know, at its heart, it is a ghost story, right? Really. Mm. But it's got so much to say about everything else too. I think that's kind of one of the things His House does very, very well. You need to be in the right place and the right frame of mind, I think, to watch it. But it's definitely one of the most effective horror films I've seen in quite some time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Ian.
Hey, guys.
Graham.
Hey.
Helen.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about His House.
Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us today, we have Ian and Graham. If you could please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hey, guys. So I'm Ian. So I'm one half of the podcast Nobody Asked For. So we're a movie and TV podcast revolving entirely around top threes. So every week we pick a movie or TV topic nobody asked us to talk about, and we figure out what our top three for that would be. So we've done stupid things like movies we would put a wrestler into and things like that.
Well, that begs the question, what movies would you put a wrestler into?
I think one of them we had was Being John Malkovich, but instead of John Malkovich, it's John Cena.
So it can be that kind of that easy a link. I say
easy link. It's anything that we would want to see a wrestler thrown into.
I mean, I copped out and put Dave Bautista in everything, right? That was
yes, you did.
Choice. So
because, and I quote, he's mostly on the way already.
And who are you? Just started talking there.
Yes, so I'm the other half of Podcast Nobody Asked For. I don't do all the fancy editing and fun Instagram stuff that Ian does. I just turn up and talk rubbish for a couple of hours every week, but it's good fun. And yeah, what started as us being very bored during lockdown has blossomed into something that we didn't really ever expect it would. So it's been quite a ride.
So it's one of those lockdown podcasts.
Yeah. We're white guys in our 30s during lockdown. It was sourdough or a podcast, and we went with a podcast.
Well, fair enough. Well, we're here today to talk about films. You guys talk about films generally anyway, but we're going to talk about His House. Graham, it was your choice, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah.
So first of all, can you tell us why you chose it? And then we'll get the countdown timer up, and you've got 60 seconds to tell us your synopsis.
So in terms of why we chose it, it is... I think it's a movie that's not talked about enough. I don't really know many people that have seen it. And I guess the big draw for me was to get it in front of a load of people, really, and hope that, you know, given this is kind of an opportunity to promote films that everyone can access on Netflix, mm-hmm. it's there, want people to go out and watch it and enjoy it. And I think we'll come on to a few more bits later, but it's also one of those ones where I think horror gets a bad rap a lot of the time. And this is so much more than a kind of out and out horror movie. And I think that's another reason I'd be interested to delve into it.
So the timer is ready to go. 60 seconds and your synopsis time starts now.
So his house, it follows two South Sudanese refugees, Rial and Bull, who have made their way to the UK via a very dangerous crossing of the channel. They lose a lot of people on their boat, including their daughter. And it kind of follows them once they reach the UK. So they put up in a council house and a council estate. I mean, it's in a awful state of affairs. And then things kind of go from bad to worse, because we realize not only are they in this kind of scary foreign land to them with not the nicest people around them, but they're also being haunted by a night witch or an apeth what they're told is living a life that's not theirs. So basically they're trying to deal with all of this supernatural awfulness in their home whilst also trying to integrate into a new life and survive the horrors of the UK asylum system.
5 seconds left to spare. I think that's a great synopsis.
Very nice.
Me and Helen always hate doing it when we do it for our own every 100 episodes. So well played to you. I'd like to start with the, you talk about surviving the horrors of the UK asylum system. And I, when the film started, I thought, oh, fucking hell, it's just going to be being ragged on for being black, being foreign, being like in a place that didn't belong. And everyone just wanted to throw like stones at them. But I was actually really quite surprised that that didn't happen. Obviously, there's a bit of like uneasiness, but I was quite impressed, quote unquote, that wasn't the main kind of thrust of the narrative. What do you guys think about that?
So I would say that I think there's elements of it, and I think a lot of it's reflected in the horror, right? And that's intentionally done, right? They're kind of mirroring what's going on in reality with what's going on. You know, we can talk whether it's reality or whether it's happening, but with the supernatural elements in the movie. I think, you know, Matt Smith's character, whilst he is a bit of a kind of, I don't know, he's got some laddish sensibilities about him, I suppose I'd say, but at the same time, he kind of, you know, he lets them off with the issue with the holes in the wall and things. So, yeah, they're probably not as treated as badly as you could expect. But then there are some scenes, particularly like the where Rial gets lost in the estate and things like that, which are kind of painting, you know, Britain at its worst at times as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's there are parts of it that are quite similar to Get Out, in that the only way the tension works is if you think there's going to be something horrific, you know, horrifically racist about to happen. So parts of the film only work if you assume we're going to treat refugees badly, which is kind of a big eye-opening thing for a film to make you think, because you shouldn't feel, like you said, on edge and tense when someone's lost trying to find the doctors or about to go up to someone. Or there's a couple of things when Bol is, I think it's the lady above them upstairs. There's bits where he catches, cat lady. you catch glimpses of her and your first thought is, something's going to happen here because they're refugees. And I think it's a very interesting, it's played like it's horror, because, you know, in a lot of instances it is, but it was kind of, it was interesting, like you said, that it wasn't kind of the main focus of a film like this, because I think a lesser filmmaker would have made it revolve entirely around that.
Yeah.
Well, for this, it was just kind of part of a much more interesting story it was trying to kind of tell about, you know, like even just kind of integration, you know, what you're leaving behind, what you're keeping, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just going to add that. I think like the doctor probably represents most people in that we're kind of largely sympathetic, but don't really know what to say. And our experiences are so far away from the experiences they've had that when confronted with the truth, we don't quite know what to say. And also the bit that I've forgotten about from the first time watch, it's actually quite funny when he goes to the pub, the church, to sing the song about Peter Crouch. There's actually these kind of like strange moments of humour in there as well.
I think that's one of the pieces I kind of picked up on, because he's sat there like, what's first of all, this guy whistles at him, which you already like puts people on edge. But he's like, you want them refugees? You're like, okay, here we go. Well, I've got some stuff for you. And like, okay, really, here we go. And then he's got like a bag of biscuits. And they're like, okay. And then he's like singing about Peter Crouch and everyone's joining in with him. And you're like, what's going, so that's part of the unsettling. I agree with you, actually. I think that's what kind of like puts you on edge in this film.
Yeah, it's weird that it feels like a twist that wasn't the main the main part of it. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously kind of little things, like I think Graham said about the Matt Smith character, who, I mean, Matt Smith in general, we could talk about for a while, but it's like the whole one of the good ones stuff with it is also kind of like deeply unsettling as well.
It's all the comments about like, oh, you know, it's bigger than my house kind of thing as well. And it's just those little kind of slight jabs and jibes at like the, but, and you're saying all this when you're walking into a home that is full of like decomposing pizza and cockroaches and the doors falling off.
I think it was, I mean, there's kind of barbed, they're double-edged, aren't they? Because first of all, they're all saying it. They were all genuinely like, this is bigger than our house. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now it's bigger than our house. And there's the duplicitousness about the statements. And I think a lot of the terms are used very carefully that would almost sail across a lesser mortal's head if they were said. So yeah, that one of the good ones is a barbed comment. Does Matt Smith mean it in the way he does? You know, I think Matt Smith's one of the good ones in this story for the refugee. So I'm using that phrase back at him, to be honest with you.
It's also a bit like, is he the villain or is he a good one? And it's kind of, it sways in between, because it's just quite clever, like you said, with the language. But yeah, you're just like, are we on his side? Are we not on his side? There are lots of bits in it where you're like, oh, I don't, it kind of like tests you a little bit, and you kind of have to have a little bit of a reflection and a bit of a rethink. I think I definitely reflected a lot more the second time around watching it on what I was listening to and what kind of my prejudice maybe were going into it, or my expectations.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where Graham mentioned in the beginning, I think horror gets a bad rap for stuff like this, because it's made us think all of these things about, you know, the refugee experience, racism people would be dealing with, like, again, like things like coded language, stuff like that. And really, it's a film about a witch. Like, I always think horror is really well placed to address issues like this without people necessarily realizing that's what it's doing. And I think that's kind of one of the things His House does very, very well, is even though it's you know, at its heart, it is a ghost story, right? Really. But it's got so much to say about everything else too.
Well, I think where I fall in line with horror often is, as Helen knows, as listeners of the show know, if someone says, let's watch a horror film, yeah, I'm not sure if I'd do so. We've got a few horror films, got to watch up some classic ones I've never watched because I've just never been interested. But when it does kind of interest me is when horror is an allegory for something else. And I think in this film, it's about guilt, really, like wholeheartedly. The guilt, because obviously we're going to spoilers here, Nagyak, who is their daughter, wasn't actually their daughter. They actually stole her from her mum. If you believe this, how the film plays out, stole her from her mum, and then she ends up dying in the crossing across the sea. And that, for me, I think is what drives a lot of the kind of guilt that's festering within them, whether it's manifested in real life by the Apeth, the witch, or whether it's just like manifestation in another way. And that's what kind of does elevate above, you know, just the standard, whatever that would be, slasher, monster in the house kind of horror.
Defending horror films, most horror films do have something else to say other than under the stabbiness. But I think also, like, I think the horror is played really well, like the kind of like creepy, scratchy noises, monsters in the shadow element of it. It's kind of old school, but I think it works really, really well in this context. There's a couple of kind of, like the bit where he's kind of pulling the cable and it turns into the seaweed rope is really, really like lovely. I think for a horror film, it looks really kind of like beautiful and dark as well.
I think that's the, just with, there's so many bits in it that feel quite unnerving and uncomfortable, even though they're not that scary. So like there's the, you know, he's standing in the, just before that scene when the wallpaper falls down and you can't get the light to switch on and things like that. And it's just, again, it's really slow burning. It's quite atmospheric. There's a good use of the, sort of the scoring and the music in the film, but also I think light plays a big role in it as well. There are elements of the, when I rewatched it in the day, and there are elements of the film that are genuinely quite hard to see because of how, you know, if you've got a window in the room you're watching it in, it's quite hard to make everything out because it is that dark at points. But they use it to such interesting effects to kind of build that tension.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, like Paul, but the people who've rewatched it anyway, because you kind of knew what the reveals would be in each scene, I spotted so much, like just in terms of like people's faces, like the scene where he's, I think it is the light one you were talking about. So after he's like smashed up the wall, I noticed so many more people in that scene the second time. Mm. Well, the first time I watched it, you just kind of see the main, I think supposed to be their inverted commas daughter's character wearing the mask, but every hole has got a face in, and I didn't notice that the first time. And there's a couple of moments where, like you said, it so effectively uses kind of darkness and things like that, you're not even necessarily catching everything that's there.
It is a very, very creepy film right from the start. And both Chope Dirisu and former guest in this podcast, by the way, guys, and Wunmi Masako were fantastic in this. And it's great to see kind of British actors playing these kind of different roles. And Wunmi's now in, as a lot of black actors do go, a lot of British actors generally, they're now in the States, you know, getting their kind of just desserts. And
she's got her MCU boots now as well, isn't she?
She's in Loki. She was in We Under City, the David Simon TV show.
I thought she was very good in Lovecraft Country.
I haven't seen that yet. That's the one outlier of hers I haven't seen yet.
It's good. I was a little bit
mental, isn't it? I've heard.
Yeah, the book is, I read the book beforehand, so it was a little bit like, you know, when you've really enjoyed the source material, like, that didn't happen, that's not the same. So I was kind of taken out of it a little bit, but her character and how she plays Ruby in it is fantastic. So yeah, and she's been in a hell of a lot of great stuff as well. There's the Black Mirror episode as well.
She was in Luther.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't, a film like this wouldn't have worked without, to be very generic, some horror doesn't need good performances in it, right? We can hold our hands up and admit that. But this needed people who were, you know, you could engage with and kind of, you know, empathize with like that. And they were incredible. I'm not sure it really could have even worked with many other people.
So convincing as a couple, aren't they? And you don't get much of, you get a little bit of flashbacks and context, but you don't get much. But just from having them together for this short runtime, you can really sort of get that they've been through a lot and it's not been easy for them, but they're still together and they're still determined to work through it, is whether that is like making a sacrifice for a night witch or trying to keep their house in order from the kind of like inspectors that come around. So yeah, I think both of them are brilliant in it, and I seeing them in the Western clothing is just one of those scenes that it's kind of funny, but it's also really, really sad as well. And you just think, no, don't do that, like wear your clothes. But great performances.
Especially when you consider it's such a small cast as well, right? So the screen time for those two must be upwards of 60-70%, where it's just them on the screen. Mm-hmm. And they carry this movie flawlessly. And yeah, you obviously, Matt Smith puts in a great performance, but he's a bit part in comparison.
He probably had a day.
Yeah.
Well, I think between one or the other, at least, is generally always there. And if they're not, it's because you're seeing it from their point of view. So you needed people, I think, like that. And the work that they're getting now, clearly they're kind of on the ascendancy as well, which is always good to see.
Okay, guys, unless there's anything else to say, but we can carry on talking about his house in this. Should we head over to the scores?
Hello, I'm Hannah Flint from the First Film Club, a film podcast series dedicated to established and emerging talent, both in front of and behind the camera, and the feature debuts that launch their careers. From the new drama Mass to the cult classic Heathers, each episode is dedicated to a film, a guest, and the behind-the-scenes stories, memories, and advice from their time on set. Find us, the First Film Club, wherever you listen to your stripped media podcasts. Come join the club.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish. And we will start with you, please, Graham, with your recommendability.
So this is a tricky one because the whole reason I picked it was because I wanted to recommend it to people. However, I appreciate that it's a difficult film to pitch to a friend, right? Here's a horror movie about some South Sudanese refugees and a witch. So I'm going to say it's going to fall squarely in the middle as a 3. It needs to be recommended, but it is a tough recommend.
Squarely in the middle is 2.5, by the way, just to say.
Oh,
just
it is. Absolutely.
You can have your 3.
I'll take it for 3 because I want more people to watch it.
Ian.
I mean, a similar argument, but I've gone 4 for it. So it is a difficult sell. It is a horror movie that isn't for everyone. It's a movie that's going to make you really kind of think, I think, about some of, you know, the ugly face of Britain as well. But it's a movie that I strongly think more people need to see. So I would recommend this often. So I think it's only fair that it's a 4.
Helen?
I'm going to go a bit higher. I'm going to go 4.5. I've recommended to quite a lot of people because this kind of came on Netflix. I think it was early last year, I think it probably was. So we were still in lockdown. So anyone who asked for a recommendation got this from me. I think if you kind of give like a little bit of info but not too much, then, you know, it's a ghost story, isn't it? It's kind of like a modern day ghost story. And it's a British horror film as well. So, you know, you've got to support our horror industry where you can.
So what are you saying, 4.5?
Yes, please.
I'm going 4.2 as a non-horror fan. I'll leave my other scores for later on. But I was generally surprised by it. I think the thing that I haven't seen it before, but when you suggested it, I wasn't hanging my head like, oh, for fuck's sake. It was because it's Chopin, won me and Matt Smith in the roles, and I think they all played a blinder. So I would recommend at that point, I'd tell people, look, it's a bit creepy, but then was it Under the Shadow we had a while back, Helen?
Yeah, it's kind of that similar vibes.
Based around the djinn, which is a Middle Eastern, South Asian ghost story, and here you had Apeth. So I think there's a lot of similarities, but I really enjoyed Under the Shadow, and I'd recommend this to the same people. Repeat viewing score, Graham.
I think I'd probably go for a 3 again here. I have seen it multiple times, but it's not an easy watch, right? It's quite visceral. There's a lot of it's quite heavy. I'm not sitting back to chill out and watch this movie. So I'm not, you know, it's not something that you'd put on a Sunday afternoon, I don't think. So yeah, I will watch it again probably because it is fantastic, but it's not the kind of thing I'm going to watch at my leisure, as it were. I need to be in the mood.
Ian?
Yeah, so I'm going for 4 again on this one, I think. It definitely does stand up to repeat viewings. Like I said, there were a lot of things that I noticed the second time round that I didn't notice in the first one. But again, it's so heavy going in places that it's not something that, you know, it's not a once a month kind of film, is it? It takes, you need to be in the right place and the right frame of mind, I think, to watch it. But it's definitely one of the most effective horror films I've seen in quite some time.
So what was your score, sorry?
So 4.
4. Helen?
Yeah, so I had seen this before and I probably wouldn't have watched it again had you not recommended it, but I actually really enjoyed watching it maybe the second time a little bit more. Not quite sure why that was, but I think once you kind of like understand a bit more about kind of maybe the Night Witch and how it appears and things, you can kind of take in everything else in a bit more detail. Not really sure. am I going to watch it again? Not 100% sure whether I'm going to watch it again anytime soon. So probably a 3.
Oh, still pretty high. I'm going to go for 1.5. I can't see myself watching it again. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Small screen score, Graham.
I'm going to say that this works works absolutely fine on the small screen. I mean, it was a Netflix original production. It was never.
Was it a Netflix original? It wasn't bought in by Netflix.
It was definitely distributed by them. I don't think they. It maybe doesn't fall under the original production, as it were. But that's how it was first distributed, at least. I don't know that it's hit cinemas. It may have hit somewhere like the Prince Charles or something like that, but it certainly wasn't screening at the local Odeon. And I think given the way the movie works, and it is quite claustrophobic, everything does feel quite, you kind of feel like you are in the house, right? And I think given that, it works absolutely fine on a TV in the living room. I'll give it a 5 here.
Ian?
Yeah, I mean, everything Graham just said, really. I've gone for 4.5 just because I still would really want to see this in the cinema. I think it does suit the cinema screen, but I think a smaller screen, because the film is so inherently claustrophobic itself, if anything, it kind of suits it quite well. And again, I don't think Netflix would have, you know, distributed it if it was quote unquote big screen cinema kind of thing.
I mean, have you seen what was that black and white film we had on there, set in South America, set in Mexico?
Roma,
yeah. I mean, that's a Netflix original, which aches for the cinema.
Yeah, like, no, that's fair. But yeah, his house, I do really want to see it on the big screen, which is why I can't give it a 5. But I still think a small screen doesn't necessarily detract from it.
Okay. Helen?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 5. I think it works fine on it. Had it had a mainstream cinema release, yeah, I might have gone to go and see it, but not 100% sure whether I would. So yeah, it's been on Netflix for a long time. Hopefully it's going to be on there still. So yeah, go and watch it. It's only an hour and 33 minutes as well. I forgot to say that on repeat. So it's super short.
I'm going to go for 4. I think I would quite like to have seen this in the cinema the first time. I know it's claustrophobic and it does kind of work well in a smaller screen, but I think there is a lot of detail, like you're saying, Ian, about what's going on behind the holes in the walls. Although some parts I thought were just a bit, like whenever they're in the water, I was just like, well, they're in a pool somewhere. It just didn't look anything like they're in the sea, which
use
is
fair. Imagination.
You're sorry?
Imagination.
Well, no, they're taking my imagination away from me by not doing it that well.
It had a bit of an upside down vibe to it, didn't it? It was just no rough seas or anything, just like a water floor.
So, but yeah, what did I say? 4. Engagement score, Graham.
Here I'm going to go for 4.5. It's slow burning and it keeps you guessing. Obviously you've got the twists that come towards the end, and there's this whole kind of little breadcrumbs of like why this is happening to them, but you don't kind of really know why it's happening to them until later. So that kind of keeps you throughout. I would have given it a 5, but I had to pause it when I rewatched it because I was doing it on my lunch break and didn't have enough time. So I wouldn't be truthful to you to say I haven't stopped watching it. So yeah, 4.5.
Ian?
So I'm going 5 for this one. It is kind of, it ticks all of the boxes for a film that I wouldn't be able to turn off. Like we kind of just said, it is a swift hour and a half long. So it's not even the time constraints, unless you're watching it on your lunch break, obviously. But it's not even the time constraints for having to kind of sit there. And yeah, it's just a very good film. I think if someone put it on, it's just on, right? I don't think I would leave.
Helen?
Yeah, I've got 4.5 as well. I think it's one of those that you don't have to be, it's not like one you have to like watch with extreme focus, or it's going to be like you're not going to know what's going on. And yeah, kind of balancing it out from the first time and the second time watching it. So yeah, pretty strong. And then I was just going to say, like, it kind of really, if I was doing like a weird sort of double bill, then I would double bill this with Limbo. I don't know if anyone saw Limbo that came out. It's another kind of refugee experience, not a horror, but kind of like looking at it from a completely different angle. And I saw them both at around the same time. So if I was programming a double bill, if I was bringing His House to the screen for you, I would do it with a double bill with Limbo. It'd be a bit strange, but it'd be good, two good films. So 4.5.
I've gone for 4.1 for engagement score. I think it's tight, but at the same time, I was very much aware that I hadn't had much time just to chill out. So I was like on Reddit at the same time and Twitter and that kind of stuff. But I still enjoyed it. And I was pulled along. And one thing it can lose me is when there's flashbacks or move away from a scenario, from a particular location. But that's where a lot of the story develops, if you choose to believe that that's what happened in their past that brought them to where they are now, which uncovered a lot of stuff, which is pretty dark. And that kept me through. And that gives us an overall score of 3.98750, just a hair's breadth under 4 there. Very good. Very good indeed. Ian Graham, can you tell us where we can find you online? Tell us about your podcast and we'll say goodbye to the listeners.
You can find us on all of the social platforms. So we are Nobody Asked For Pod on Twitter and Facebook. We're something different on Instagram. So you always do that, Ian.
We are the podcast Nobody Asked For, all one word, on Instagram and Patreon as well.
Yeah, and then we have our website, podcastnobodyaskedfor.co.uk, which has links to everything and all the wonderful stuff you may or may not want to know about us.
Well, guys, thank you very much for bringing His House. I'd never seen it before, never heard of it before. Maybe I did, but it was kind of just past me. But thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, bye. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell him FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.